peace, this is Paris, and you're in tune to my man Ricky Vincent, the Uhuru Maggot, every Friday night on 94.1 FM, KPFA.
Bringing you back with the missing hip-hop, hard truth. Soldier Radio.
Oh yes, yes, welcome to the History of Funk. We got a Thumpasaurus blowout for y'all. It's Panther night. It's the Panther party. What's up, Tommy Cash?
I'm good, man. This is a double dose tonight, man. So all you History of Funk fans and you Friday Night Vibe fans, this is the night, man. We got 4 hours of it.
It's going to be blowing you out.
Between me, you, JR from the Block Report.
Yeah, we got one of the original Lumpin' members, original funk band of the Black Panthers.
That's what's up.
We're
going
to be coming with you. It's all good. We wanted to give a shout out to Rosemary Martinez. She kicked down for the Laonda crew. A large amount. We're going to give her plenty of love. Thank you, Rosemary, for doing your thing.
That's what I'm talking
about. Yeah, we're going to give love to the Black Panthers. It's the 40th reunion up there in Oakland at the Malunga Center for the Arts. We want everybody to come out there tomorrow.
That's right, man. We will be there. T-Cash, JR, everybody from the Hard Knock Radio crew.
Yeah, it's on the air tomorrow on KPFA, too.
It sure is.
Yeah, so get out there. Get up in there.
Yeah.
It's like that. Say it loud.
One more time. Ourselves. We're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud.
Oh, here we are, KPFA, playing these Black Panther jams. I'm talking with some of the folks because we're in the house and we're getting down with their music. Yes, it's going to be a very special evening. Here's the Shy Lights getting it rolling. For God's sake, give more power to the people. What? I thought they were just an R&B act. For God's sakes, give more power to the people. That's what we're talking about tonight. It's the it's Black Panther night. Yeah, we got some of the folks that are participating in the Black Panthers reunion, and we got one of the original Lumpin' members in the house with us. His name is Michael Torrance. What's up, man? How you doing? Yeah, let me get that mic up in there.
There you go. How you doing? All power to the people.
Yeah, it's good to see you, my brother. I'm honored to meet you. If people don't know the whole story about the Lumpin', they was a R&B band that was produced by the Black Panther Party. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Man, how did that come about? What was the story with that?
Well, actually, the way it came about is Clark Bailey and Bill Calhoun and myself, we had all joined the Black Panther Party actually coming out of San Jose State, and we used to sing together after we were working with the BSU, and we would sing around the office and the centers and stuff, you know, because as black people, part of our tradition has been to sing and use music as a way of inspiring the work and helping the work go through. And so happened that June and David Hilliard kind of heard that and said, you know, you guys sound like you might could be able to do something together. And we have another brother, James Mott, that likes to sing a lot. And so working with Brother Emory Douglas, the Minister of Culture at that time, it was felt that it would be a good idea for the Black Panther Party to help get the message across to the people in the community through a medium that's always been very effective for us, and that has been the music. And pretty much that's how it came about. So we first song that we put together was Bobby Must Be Set Free.
That's right. That's a collector's item. People all around the world looking for that. Man, there are people coming here from Germany and France. Oh, you have that record of the Lumpin'. Where's the Lumpin'? And, you know, because it means so much to a lot of people that there was music with a message in general, and then y'all had the advanced music with the most advanced message, if you want to break that one down. You know, the Black Panther Party, they're having their 40th annual, it's their 40th year reunion, and you can find out more about it at itsabouttimebpp.com. It's one long phrase, but you can type it all in, itsabouttimebpp.com, and they have the whole agenda and the things, and it's happening all day at the Belonga Center for the Arts, formerly Alice Arts Center, 1400 block of Alice Street. You can't miss it if you get out there. And like I said, it'll be jumping off all day tomorrow and some events on Sunday as well. You'll have the photo thing on the 11 o'clock and then a picnic at the Defermery Park,
Bobby Hutton Park. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so that's it. So we want to feature this very rare record courtesy of our brother Walter Turner. He gave me a chance to peep game, and this is a single that y'all did back in the summer of 1970 called, it says Free Bobby Now, and y'all call it Bobby Must Be Set Free, isn't that right?
Yes.
All right, here's the lumpin' right here on KPFA. Bobby Must Be Set Free. Yeah, with that JB groove and everything. That's the jam. That's the lumping, everybody, exclusively here on KPFA. And we have one of the members right here with us, Brother Michael Torrance. Oh, man, honored to have you here, brother.
Honored to be here, brother.
Now, does that bring back some memories of the good old, bad old days?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, the first time that the lumping performed was on the back of a pickup truck in the Fillmore District of San Francisco with just an old upright piano. Mm. And people didn't know what to make of it, but and we only had that song. We had Bobby, and we had another one called No More. But that was the first time that we did that, and it was just a wonderful thing to be able to communicate with people in that way, and they were from the very beginning very responsive to it, and so the leadership of the party felt that we could build on that, and that's what we set out to be, was really to become not just an entertainment group but an educational cadre.
That's right.
And
that's
to
right.
use the music as a tool.
Now, when you talk about being an educational cadre, you guys, it was no joke. You were full-fledged party members. You had to do all the dirty work, all the getting up early and the cooking and da-da-da-da-da, and do the music. Can you talk about your obligations and your commitments?
Yeah, well, see, actually, we didn't join the Black Panther Party. I know I didn't join, and Clark Bailey and Bill Calhoun, as I said, we all came up together from San Jose, first coming out of San Jose State in the black student movement there. The intention was to join the Black Panther Party. The intention was to serve as revolutionaries and to further the cause of the revolution.
That's right.
The music was just another tool or another weapon to further that cause. But we were Panthers first, and so in that regard, we were required to do all that was required of any Panther, to get up in the morning and feed the children for the breakfast program, sell the newspapers, to secure the offices, to do whatever community work was needed, to pick up donations, because we were Panthers first. And by no means were we ever entertainers. By no means were we anything separate or different or above any other rank-and-file member. We didn't want that designation. We never tried to get that designation. We were required even more so to participate in political education classes because the things that we wrote had to reflect the line of the party and be educational or at least informative to stimulate some thought. So, again, we were a cadre, and in terms of the Black Panther Party, a cadre is a unit. And we were considered a cultural educational cadre under the leadership of the Minister of Culture, Emory Douglas.
Ooh, you broke that one down. And that's, I mean, that's such a deep vein going down in the Bay Area culture, because you have your people committed to change. Bay Area is where so much, you know, innovative political, cultural change is taking place.
It's
and you guys are right there on the cusp of it, you know, where it's all happening. And you had a killer band. Now, What were those political education classes like? What were they about? What were you reading, and how would you go about going through that information?
Well, you know, for any Panther, of course, you know, the basics would be Malcolm X, Frantz Fanon, and also the writings of Huey P. Newton, along with some Marxist, Lenin, dialectical materialism. And just a basic understanding of political systems, capitalism, an understanding of how particularly this system works, how the police is used as a tool of oppression, how they act as a colonizing force, how we as the people who may not be able to match them bullet for bullet, though there are things that we can do, there are tactics that to be used. And one of those tactics is in terms of mass education. So in those classes, you know, we were instructed in the theory. We were instructed in the history. We were instructed in the social dynamics. We were instructed in the political mechanisms of this system and also of fascist and imperialistic systems around the world, and of the role that's expected of a vanguard party in relation to the people. And so there was a preparation there. In other words, we were not just going to jump out there and sing and holler and clap our hands at anything, because it was a very serious responsibility we felt. And we did not want to go out there and misrepresent by any means the party, what the party stood for, and particularly what we felt at that time, and I want to make that clear, at that time, were the interests of the people.
Broke it all the way down, Brother Michael Torrance from the Lumpin'. Y'all need to recognize. Now, how did you draw the band together? I understand that you had Melvin Coleman on the bass, brother who's now with the Whispers, and who's the cat on the rhythm guitar that you had when you was performing at this? We have a live tape. I want to feature it right now. I want to debut. It's kind of grainy off a cassette, but I want to feature a little bit of this music from your live performance. And people will realize that y'all can sing, y'all have the vision, and you have a smoking band. How did you pull the band together? It must have been something that drew the musicians to work for y'all.
The musicians that we were able to attract, and I use the word attract, were attracted because of their identification with, first of all, what the goals of the Black Panther Party were. It was a mixed group, the group that you hear on our live recording, the group that we went across country with, because we went on tour immediately following that performance. We had a young man named David Levine came out of Berklee High School, which is where I graduated too. He was playing saxophone. We had another white brother who was progressive on guitar. We had a couple of brothers from West Oakland in the rhythm section. So that the program was made up of a cross section. Brother Bill Calhoun had experience in terms of forming bands and directing bands, and so he was able to take these brothers who volunteered. They were not paid. Mm-hmm. They were community workers. They were not Panthers, but they were what we designated as community workers, and then we named them the Freedom Messengers. Mm-hmm. And they did this for free, strictly out of dedication to the people, which I think came through in the playing, because they were not motivated by anything other than what we were all motivated by, and that was to serve the people.
Yeah. So here's the Lumpin' Theme, recorded January 1971 at the old Merritt College, right here on KPFA.
Brothers and sisters, the Black Panther Party very proudly presents the Lumpin'!
That's some powerful stuff. Y'all got the rhythm down. You got the cadence down. Now, I'm visualizing y'all had some dance steps at that point, and you was swinging or stirring it up.
A lot of choreography. We had a lot of choreography. Again, we wanted to take the model that was popular and recognizable to the people in the community, particularly the black community, and that is, you know, along the model of, say, a group like the Temptations, but also with a strong rhythm such as the James Brown, but with moves. So along with the singing and the harmony, we wanted to do choreography, but our choreography was not just about spinning, but the choreography was part of the story, so that with our steps, you would see us throw grenades, you would see us pump shotguns, we would do a whole choreographed dance routine, which actually was a pantomime, but it was a whole dance routine. based upon brothers on the block playing craps. A racist cop comes along, brutalizes one brother. The brothers rise up, defend the other brother that's been brutalized, and Death to the Fascist Pig. And we did all that with dance. So we tried to use all of those aspects, the music, the visual, the steps, the choreography, and all of these various modes to try to get across these messages to the people in a way that was entertaining to them, but at the same time, hopefully inspirational and educational.
Wow, that is mind-blowing stuff. Michael Torrence, that is just, I wish that album could have been completed. Now, you told me that was a recording that was planned to be released, but somewhere along the line, no one can find the original master tapes of that.
Yeah, we seem to have, at least to my knowledge, seem to have lost track of the master. At the time, it was a live recording at Merritt College. It was our last performance as we were preparing to go on the actually coast-to-coast tour of various chapters across the country. And what we did do after the tour, which was successful, we took the tapes around, the recording around the various radio stations, you know, trying to get some airplay for it. And the feedback that we got was, one, you seem to have a good product. Two, you seem to have a good following, you know, based upon your crowd noise. But three, we cannot and will not play this on any airwaves because we would have our license pulled. The message is just a little bit too strong, and we would have Jago Hooper down here at a moment's notice, so we just can't play this music.
Okay, freedom of speech in America. That's the way it works.
Well, I want to thank you for playing it after all these years.
Oh, man, I'm honored. Yeah, I'm going to get one more in here, and then we're going to bring the whole gang of folks to here to celebrate the 40th reunion of the Black Panthers and talk about all these other events. I want to play this other song here. This one is a very pleasant-sounding tribute to Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions, People Get Ready. But you guys kind of flip it a little bit.
Yes, we do.
And but I like the way you kind of set it up with the introduction and everything. And that kind of explains a little bit of the vision that you've been sharing with everybody tonight. So I want to feature the Lumpin' live one more time, everybody. And this... you'll recognize the melody of the track. The lyrics might be a little bit different. Right here on KPFA.
Minister of Defense, Supreme Commander of the Black Panther Party, Huey P. Newton. On this particular song, we dedicate to Jonathan Jackson, to William Christmas, to James McLean, to Fred Hampton, Mark Clark, John Huggins, Al Prentice Bunchy Carter, and to the brother that was the beginning, Little Bobby Hutton. To all revolutionaries that have given their lives in the cause of freedom throughout the world, we the Lumpin' respectfully dedicate this song. Yeah. Sing the song. We said people get ready. Loaded gun.
Witness, Bobby and the People, Must All Be Free. That was a spectacular rendition of that song, Michael Torrence.
Thank you, sir.
Wow, that's the Lumpin', everybody, from 1971. Harmonizing just so precisely. You honor the traditions of soul music, and yet you moving the revolution forward at the same time.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's some good stuff. I wish it was a crisper, cleaner thing so that everybody can catch the nuances and how you guys, you know how to work the stage and the sounds that you are producing. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is something else.
It was also a lot of fun to get the feedback from the police from Lost Music, too.
How would they give you some commentary? What would they tell you about? How'd you find out what they thought?
I can remember one occasion, particularly in West Oakland, because, as I said, we were required to do all regular Panther duties, and on that particular day we were out selling papers. And there were two particular cops that were very well known in West Oakland, one called Little Red, one called Big Red. And they were known to us, and they basically felt they knew all Panthers, and so they saw us with the papers and did what they normally do, rolled up on us, dropped the papers up against the wall. And then they added a little something to it and say, "Oh, you're those singing MFs, aren't you? Mm. Why don't you sing me a song now?"
Oh,
N-I-G-G-E-R. And we said, "Well, no, if you want to hear the song, you have to come to a performance." we even across the country, a couple of times we really had to break down from stage. Certain things we sang was considered subversive, and we were chased out of a couple of locations. Had to ask the people to help us tear down our equipment so we could throw it in the van and get out of town. I believe in New Jersey we were chased by the White Citizens Council right in the middle of Old Pig Nixon.
Mm.
So, but to us, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, once again, it shows we're being effective on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And at that particular point in time, we felt that if we get a response from the oppressor, then that's a good thing.
That's a really interesting point, that people would take this music so seriously that they would try to, harass, discredit, and destroy the people that are practitioners of the music on top of it. And, it's interesting when you mention Old Pig Nixon, because you remade Old Man River,
yeah,
which is a traditional song going all the way back to the 20s and the 30s, and Paul Robeson, who was an activist and artist like yourself.
Yes, he was.
Who really stood tall, against the system,
Absolutely.
In a way. And the system looked at him and said, conscious black men that are artists that can capture the imagination and activists that can rally people to move at the same time. Wait a minute. He was public enemy number one.
Absolutely.
Before the rap group ever showed up.
Absolutely.
And that was real important. I liked the way you honored him doing that. And I liked the way you honored KPFA coming down here to tell some of your story and bring this music to us.
We certainly thank you for the opportunity. And we want to, also take this opportunity to thank you for your support, not only of the Black Panther Party, and, of course, as a member of the Lumpin', of you trying to, help keep our music and legacy alive, but also, for all the things that you're doing for the community, for trying to promote the music and also promote the real power behind the music. I want you to keep on keeping on, and more power to you and all power to the people.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. That's what makes it motivate me to do this some more.
All right.
As long as we're still on the air. Oh, here's your outro song. Revolution is the only solution. Let's bring some of these other revolutionaries in here and hoot and holler and get people into this Panther 40th anniversary. It's brand new, man. Bring it up today. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Kill our people that will.
Chris. Six feet from your toe. Just won't do.
KPFA 94.1 FM, 1042, listening to the Lumpin. That's exclusive, courtesy of, well, that's just an exclusive. Let's just leave it at that. And very honored and happy to have members of the Lumpin and people that are working, that are doing all these different events at the Black Panther Party's 40th anniversary celebration reunion. There's all kinds of things going on, and I'm going to go get that flyer in just a second. And there's some stuff happening tomorrow morning with a very important movie about the story that happened with some of the situations in the Southern California chapter, Los Angeles chapter, the untold story of the Southern California chapter of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, 41st and Central. And we got the movie makers here with us. We got Greg Everett. Let's just say, what's up? What's happening?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, my name is Gregory Everett. They call me G-Bone. I'm up here from Los Angeles. I direct music videos, and one of my mentors, Roland Freeman, he's here with me, and I met Roland in 1992, and we started having discussion about doing a documentary film, and now we're here, and we're making it happen.
Okay. So let's get the substance of the story. Do you want to talk about it, Roland?
Well, the 41st and Central, there was a shootout in Los Angeles on December 7th. I believe 1969 is a four-hour shootout where the Los Angeles Police Department came in the middle of the night, about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and busted in the door, and they was met with gunfire, and a four-hour shootout ensued. Then also we're going to also be discussing the beginning of the Black Panther Party in Los Angeles, which was started by Prentice Bunchy Carter.
That's a fascinating story right there.
Yeah, Roland is actually a survivor of that shootout.
Okay.
And that shootout, they had created SWAT for that reason, to try to murder the Panthers, the Southern California chapter of Panther leadership in their sleep, 4 days after they had murdered Fred Hampton in Chicago.
That was December 1969. That's for real.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the story is also, like you said, the story of Bunchy Carter. It's the story of my mentor, Long John here, Ronald Freeman, and my father, Jeff Everett. So it's the story of all the guys down there, and we're going to pull this thing off. It's the first time a documentary has been done specifically about the Southern California chapter, which was the largest chapter. It stretched from Los Angeles down to San Diego, and more Panthers were murdered that were members of the Southern California chapter than any other chapter in the world. Between the LAPD and the US organization, that's where the action was, so to speak.
Wow, that's thick. Now, is it complete? What is going to be available for people to watch tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow at 11:30 at
College.
At Laney College at 11:30, you can see a half-hour segment, which was actually the piece that we put together to show investors, to show that there is a story that's specific to Southern California that's going to be put into a multi-part DVD series.
Oh, okay. So that's at 11:30 tomorrow at Laney College. There's going to be two locations for events all day. We'll be telling you some more about them as we go through this evening at the Malonga Center for the Arts on the 1400 block of Alice Street. in Oakland, and then a few blocks away down the street at the Laney College, there'll be stuff going all day. I highly recommend you check it out. And if you want to just peep it, go to itsabouttimebpp.com, and they have all of those events spelled out. And I'm looking forward to that film. What was the experience like for you? Great, I'm putting that whole thing together.
Well, it's been a wonderful experience. Like I said, I've known about this story since the early 90s, and I always thought it would be a good story, and Roland had the material, the resources, and the connections with the people to put this thing together. And what you will see tomorrow was actually the wraparound story of me reuniting my father with Roland, because my father hadn't been able to speak to Roland about certain events involving the party in over 30-some-odd years. Mm. So I videotaped that meeting, and I intercut it with stock footage and clips from other documentaries wherever they would mention the L.A. chapter. But this is the first time that all this material has been compiled and put into one documentary.
All the way from San Diego to Ventura County or however far
right,
it went?
Right. Yes. Santa Ana, San Diego, Pasadena, Los Angeles.
Wow. Did you get current and former Panther members to tell different various parts of this?
Yes.
How did that come
together? Yes. And that's part of the trip up here. We were our trip was sponsored up here by VRG Entertainment, which is actually in Holland. Some Dutch investors and this brother from Chicago, and he also lived in L.A. by the name of Bizarro. They sponsored this trip up here, and then a lighting company up here donated lights. We got sound stuff donated to us, insurance donated by Apps Worldwide, and all these people put this together because they realize how important the story is. So we've been getting interviews up here while we've been here over at the Jack London Inn. They even donated their banquet room to let us shoot there.
That's
so this
great.
Is a big project, and it's a community-based project. And it's coming together very well.
Okay. Roland, you satisfied with the way that thing is developing and
yes,
being true to the tale as you experienced it?
True.
Okay.
It's going to be true to the correct. It's going to be the truth. So
right.
The truth has to be true to the tale.
You know, most people first exposure, you know, from the outside to what happened in L.A., well, there was a lot of the headlines with the US stuff that happened in 69, and then, you know, things kind of faded, and now Elaine Brown's book in the 90s gave people an interesting window into that period. Have you guys talked to her about it? Is that something you guys sort of have to deal for and against?
Well, let me say this. This movie is called 40. I'm going to let Roland make the comment, but I'm going to say this right here. This movie is called 41st and Central, and this is the untold story. So you're going to see things in this film that hasn't been in anyone's book, but it's all the truth and it's the real things that happened. So this is the untold story.
I heard that.
Yeah. And my mother told me, if you don't have nothing nice to say about somebody, then
there's no say nothing.
Yeah,
oh,
but,
it's like that. Maybe we'll go to a song.
Yeah, that book. You know, this is the truth.
Okay. Ooh.
This is the truth.
Okay.
It's the naked truth.
Right.
The naked truth. Right. All right. Well, it's good to have you guys coming down, and it's good to see you doing the work that you do and getting the word out to the people.
And also, one more thing I'd like to say to the people. If you'd like more information about our project, it's being produced by Ultrawave Media and Film Revolution 2027. So you can go to myspace.com/FilmRevolution2027, and you'll be updated on everything going on with the project. You can see snippets and everything.
myspace.com/FilmRevolution2027.
Yes.
Okay. So if I can remember that, some of y'all can remember that too. But, you know, and you can go down there tomorrow and catch up to these brothers doing their thing and be a part of that, be a part of history because, you know, the folks put in a lot of work, sacrificed quite a bit, you know, to put the Black Panther organization on the map. And the stay in power is a testament to all the people that went into it and to your generation, my generation, that are following up, you know, trying to see the light. You know what I'm saying?
I'd like to also give a shout-out to my comrades up here from Los Angeles, the Black Riders that are up here representing for Southern California.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Anything?
All power to the people.
You
all power to the people.
Got that.
Right on.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you. I got to ask you. What we need?
Soul power.
We got to have
soul power.
We want it.
Soul power.
We're doing it.
Soul power.
We want
soul power.
We got to have
soul power.
We need it.
Soul power.
Give it to me.
Soul power.
We want
soul power.
We got to have
soul power.
We need it.
Soul power.
Give it to me.
Soul power.
I won't get under your skin. Give me if I get there, I got to win. You need some soul. Come on and get some. And then I know, good brother, where I'm coming from. To go, Gigi, look here. Don't jump on the train when I'm on the side. Just check yourself. Say, yeah, you're right. Don't jump on the train when I'm on the side. You got to check yourself, brother. Say, yeah, you're right. Don't fall on the ground. You got to get down, 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 down. Let me tell you one more time. Don't fall on the ground. You got to get down, 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 down. Hey, yeah. I said, boom, boom, boom.
Soul power.
You got the hand.
Soul power.
We need it.
Soul power.
Give it to me.
Soul power.
Get it in the blanket.
Soul power.
No, I like it. All right, then.
He is soul brother number one. Power to the people. That was a moment when James Brown was just right on top of that stuff.
He's soul brother number one in Africa. He's soul brother number one in South America. He's soul brother number one. He's universally known as soul brother number one, James Brown. James Brown.
Soul brother number one. That was when everybody came through and delivered the music. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a bit.
Never let it
Goodness, that's some incredible music by Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions. Ricky Vincent here. Well, I still got Michael Torrance and his folks. What's up, man? It's just wonderful having you here, man. I'm glad you could be here with us and maybe share some of your experience with some of this music. What was Curtis Mayfield and James Brown? What were they like for you coming up with the music? But you was, you know, doing so much with the Black Student Union at San Jose State University, and you had, I mean, that was the global thing with the Olympic boycott happening and all of that. And what was the soul music? What did it have any relevance to you, any meaning? What did these guys mean to you?
At the time, and I think, you know, it was really a blessing for me to grow up in the 60s. And to grow up in a household where there was a lot of music, but definitely a lot of Curtis Mayfield. And so there was the people Get Ready, and there was Keep On Pushing. And I was at a house, mm-hmm. in a household where we were aware of what was going on in the South, and we would see the pictures of the marches and the people getting the hoses and the dogs sicked on them and everything. And then with Curtis Mayfield with a Keep On Pushing, things of this nature, was kind of like a background music to that. And inspired me to want to get involved with it, which, you know, I did beginning in high school. Coming up in Berkeley, graduating class of 68, being exposed to the Black Panther Party, you know, in the 11th grade. And it was a small move then to, once I was accepted to San Jose State, to be there when Smith and Carlos made that gesture at the Olympics, and to the brothers and sisters of San Francisco State were struggling for black studies. And we had the same situation in San Jose State, so in solidarity, we also went out on strike. And it was a natural progression to move on and to create that contact with the party, begin to sell papers on campus, to formulate our own chapter down there. And from that, again, is where we have Clark and Bill Calhoun, who was the chairman of the BSU at the City College. I was chairman of the BSU at State, and coalesced together, and in the midst of political work, singing together and sharing these same songs, dancing off of I'm Black and I'm Proud, off Soul Brother Number One, so that, you know, this music here was like the background music of our struggle to us. And so it was just natural as breathing, the truth be told.
Oh, tell the truth. Yeah, Michael Torrance of the Lumpin', Black Panther Party rank and file member, one of the many people proud to be associated with the organization and participate in this 40th anniversary reunion taking place in downtown Oakland at the Malanga Center for the Arts all day tomorrow, and at Laney College You can get information at itsabouttimebpp.com. You're listening to 94.1 KPFA Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. Yeah, we have to have you all listening.
Mayor Cindy Chavez about her candidacy for mayor. We examine a shadowy Sacramento-based Republican front group that's targeting Democrats across America. And Larry Benson.